Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's hope so. We're going to welcome right now Zach Strief, former of the New Orleans Saints, former offensive lineman, also does play-by-play for the New Orleans Saints broadcast. Zach, when you and I were talking yesterday morning, if I would have said, guess what? Tomorrow morning, we're going to be talking about the possibility that Antonio Brown may become a New Orleans Saint. What would your response have been then?
I probably would have called your bluff on that, Bob. I don't know that I would have bought that. I think certainly it's going to open a lot of eyes up. And, you know, I know certainly the Saints have gotten thin at receiver. They had to put Rashawn Hogan, you mentioned, on IR, just had his first catch this past week. And obviously I've already put a couple guys on IR at the position. So they are getting thin. And you know, I think the most plausible reality is that they're kind of updating their playoff roster for possible wide receivers. And then, you know, there's just the fears of, is Mike Thomas's finger a little bit worse, or hand a little bit worse than you know, originally we thought? Are the Saints really wondering, just in case, how the league would handle a possible, you know, return to playing for Antonio Brown, who's still in the investigation phase with the NFL for some of the stuff he got into this earlier in the season?
Well, the Saints have always been very protective of that locker room to try to, you know, keep that together. Would, in addition to someone like Antonio Brown, how do you think the majority of the players would receive him?
Well, I think, you know, first and foremost in a locker room, guys would probably be excited to have somebody as talented as Antonio Brown is. Now, he can make that go bad pretty quickly if they were to sign him by coming in and being the wrecking ball that he has, you know, been in a lot of the other places. Now, when you look back at, you know, his time in New England, you know, you didn't hear anything from him until another lawsuit was filed. And so there's always that, you know, kind of fear that everybody's kind of holding their cards until Antonio Brown gets another chance to play. And that's really what caused, you know, the breakup in New England. But, you know, it's really up to the player. You know, I think most guys are willing to give people a chance to prove that they're not who, you know, the world has told us that they are. But someone like that, you know, probably their opportunity is quick. You know, very quickly you can ruin that chance that you're being given by the locker room.
And what I remember about that is Tom Brady was very, very happy to have him, and Tom Brady was a big supporter of him at New England.
Well, you can see why. They can't throw the football because they don't have any receivers. So, you know, it's obviously been a major issue in New England, and probably Tom Brady realizing that that was going to be an issue as the season went on, that they were not deep enough at that position and would struggle, you know, at the receiver spot. And so, you know, listen, as a player, what other option do you have other than try to embrace the situation? So, you know, we're not the ones making personnel decisions. So when a team brings somebody in, you know, the smartest thing to do is to embrace that guy and give him a chance. And I think that's what Tom Brady did. And he understands, you know, that maybe the positivity would be more beneficial to Antonio than having a guy come in and you immediately saying, I don't want him here. Well, that's not going to benefit anybody. So, you know, Tom Brady's obviously a veteran. He understands, you know, the game and how it works. And, you know, that was his play with Antonio Brown. And quite honestly, I think it was working until, you know, another lawsuit came up.
Right. Zach, can you hang on? I'm going to take a break and then come back and talk a little bit longer. Is that all right with you?
Yeah,
right.
Sure.
Okay, we'll take a break. It's a quarter after nine at WWL. You can call at 260-1870. If you have maybe a quick point, a quick question you might want to ask, you can do that. We will come right back to you after this quick break on WWL. Tommy's on vacation. I'm Bob Mitchell. Got off the couch. Came in to work with you guys. If you're just tuning in and you're saying, what in the world is going on? The New Orleans Saints, and it's, of course, been confirmed, has been working out Antonio Brown. Now, you remember him. He's a great wide receiver, but has got himself into a lot of trouble. So we're asking you, is it a good thing or a bad thing for the Saints to sign him? Zach, I hate to put you on the spot, but what do you think? Good thing or a bad thing to sign him?
Well, I think it's tough. I think, you know, obviously from a playing standpoint, Antonio Brown is one of the top three or four most talented receivers in the world. And so, you know, to have a chance to bring him in, you know, can help the Saints win games, but it's also so dependent on the off the field stuff, and that includes the reality that, you know, the NFL is quote unquote investigating Antonio Brown, and I don't know that the league is necessarily willing to allow him to play. And so, you know, they've kind of been kicking this can down the road of making a decision, and the Saints bringing him in may very well force their hand and force them to make a decision. And so, you know, you could sign the guy and then have him immediately suspended and have to deal with all of that fallout and that focus on your team, because now he's on your team and he's suspended. You know, you could bring him in and he could realize that, man, I've really kind of screwed up and I've almost lost, you know, my profession, and it's time for me to shut up and, you know, kind of do my work and get back to where I was. And then it could be a great, you know, reality for the Saints. So, you know, I think it's a tough one, as hard as I've ever been kind of asked. I mean, the combination of talent and off-the-field issues are kind of unprecedented in the National Football League. So I think this is really informational for the Saints, and I think it's less about what kind of shape is Antonio Brown in and more about, if we really do get into a bind, can we quickly turn and sign him, or is the league going to stop us from doing that?
What would stop the Saints from talking to the league ahead of time and saying, here's what we're thinking of doing? Would you stop this?
Well, I think you're assuming that the league would show their cards to the Saints. And I don't know that that's true. I think that sounds nice. I don't know, you know, that they can, you know, there's a lot of things in play there, right? There's a CBA. There's a, you know, what is the league able and willing to do? Are they willing to take another PR hit if it turns out that, you know, the investigation into him didn't reveal anything? You know, do they it kind of looks like they just don't want to deal with it right now, the fact that it's quote-unquote being investigated, you know, for the past 10 weeks or 11 weeks, mm-hmm. Certainly longer than they've ever spent before. But, you know, I don't know that the league is willing to say that. And it's also possible that, you know, the team just wants them to make a decision so they know. One way or another, and you know, and then there's the most obvious of all of them, which is, yeah, they're going to bring in the top receivers that are available for a workout, and of course Antonio Brown is in that list, and you know, that's probably, quite honestly, the most plausible reality, is that, you know, the team is working out receivers, and if you're going to work out receivers, well, you're going to bring that guy in. He's by far the most talented guy available.
Well, talent wise he's the only one that you could plug in for Michael Thomas.
Yeah, well, I mean, listen, there's, you know, even that is not reality. I mean, Antonio Brown is talented enough to play that role, but, you know, Antonio Brown's going to certainly play a second fiddle, you know, in the offense, because he hasn't been here. He doesn't know the offense, the terminology, the quarterback, you know, all those things take time. And so even that, I mean, if Mike Thomas is truly is out, then, yeah, that's obviously a pretty big shoe to fill, and I don't know that even Antonio Brown right now is going to fill it without the Saints have used Michael Thomas. But, yeah, I mean, certainly the most talented guy available by a mile.
Well, we are not hearing anything out of the Saints camp, and I realize that coaches always like to keep injuries as quiet as they possibly can, but we really don't know much about Michael Thomas other than he had an injured hand. Do you know any more about what's going on with him?
No, I don't. And you know, quite honestly, with the way that the world is, I would think that if Michael Thomas's hand was so bad that he was unable to play the rest of the season, then we would know. I mean, I don't think that it has anything that it's anything like that. I think, you know, that Mike's probably got a sprained finger or something, which, you know, at some positions is no big deal, and at the receiver position is a huge deal. But you know, I quite honestly believe that this is most likely a depth-finding mission for them, that they know that they have a need at the position. You know, when you look at the depth chart, it's thin, you know, and mm-hmm. it just is. They put a lot of guys on IR, and I think that they're kind of looking right now to, you know, to fill some of those voids. And so you bring in, you know, a handful of receivers, and the fact of the matter is that one of them happens to be an all-pro and one of the most productive receivers in history. That's, you know, been out of the league all year, and that's huge news. And yet, you know, it could very well just be, hey, we gotta know, we gotta be prepared for, you know, for anything that happens. And since we're bringing him in, you know, let's bring in Antonio too.
Zach, one final question. I mean, we all know that the O-line is so important to a quarterback, and our offensive line has just been great protecting Drew Brees. Now we've had to bring in a couple of other people. How hard is it for new people to come in who have non-starters or even people off a practice squad? How hard is it to get that offensive line to blend?
Well, I think, you know, the good thing is the guys that they've plugged in this year are guys that have been in the building since training camp. And so, you know, those guys have gotten reps together. You go back to camp, you know, there's a lot of rotation going on. There's guys filling in, you know, roles, and, you know, Nick Easton stepping in. You know, he's a guy, he's a veteran. He's been around the league. He's seen it. He's played. And so, you know, the communication gap is a lot narrower than it would be for, you know, a rookie to come in off the street mm-hmm. and try to learn everything in a hurry. And, you know, Will Clapp's been here for 2 years. So he speaks the language. He understands, you know, what we're doing. He's sat in those offensive line meetings every day. So he knows all the adjustments that have been made. Those guys can step in and play from a communication standpoint pretty easily. And what you really learn as a player is you just kind of over communicate early on when there's a new guy in there, and then as you guys settle in, you know, you kind of back off of what has to be actually communicated as your rapport kind of builds.
Zach Streeth, thank you so very much for being on the show again this morning. Of course, Zach is a former New Orleans Saints offensive lineman. Right now he's the voice of the Saints. And, again, you and Deuce just do a great job at it. It's really fun listening to you guys.
Well, thank you very much, Bob. I appreciate it. And thanks for coming in and helping us out this week.
All right. I'm the backup.
I like it.
All right. Thank you, Zach. All right.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.